Welcome to Journal Club for February 4th, 2025. I'm Malcolm Dix. In 1845, a strange mold began to appear on potatoes in Ireland. It rotted the potato from the inside out, turning its flesh to foul-smelling mush. By 1852, it had decimated the crop and turned fields of green, thriving plants into black, withered ruins. This led to massive amounts of starvation, disease, and emigration. Out of a population of 8 million, Ireland lost approximately 1 million lives. Then, they saw several million more people leave in a mass exodus from which the population numbers would never recover. Today, we call this time in history the Irish Potato Famine, and it is still considered one of the worst agricultural disasters ever recorded. The disease that caused it has many names, potato blight, late blight, or even the devouring plague, but scientifically, it's called Phytophthora infestans. It's a fungal-like organism that spreads through spores. It infects leaves, stems, and tubers and breaks down the plant tissue. And unfortunately, this disease is still with us today. But now, we know how to deal with it. It still causes all the same problems it used to, but now we can treat infected plants with fungicides to stop this disease from spreading. The challenge lies in catching which plants need to be treated before it becomes a major issue. But how do we do that? Traditionally, farmers do this manually. They walk the fields and check the plants one by one. And since the disease spreads through spores, which can carry on the wind, no crop is safe. Just because your fields are in a controlled, isolated area that were blight-free on Monday doesn't mean they're blight-free on Friday. So this process needs to be repeated over and over again all the time. And this inspection process is more difficult than it might sound. If a potato plant has late-stage disease, it might be obvious. But the farmers are, by design, performing their inspections at very early stages. So they need to be able to recognize the incredibly subtle and nuanced changes that characterize the very earliest stages of the disease. Tiny, irregularly shaped water spots on the leaves. Faint yellowing or slight discoloration around leaf edges. A slight darkening of veins on the underside of leaves. A barely noticeable softening of infected tissue. Minute white fungal growth, that's spore-producing structures, on the underside of leaves. Slight curling or wilting of individual leaves despite adequate moisture. Or a subtle reduction in plant vigor compared to healthy neighbors. These early warning signs are difficult to spot with the naked eye, making inspections prone to errors. Overall, the process is expensive, time-consuming, and just not as effective as it could be. The authors of today's paper saw all of these challenges and thought that this would be a great case for AI. If you can set up a few cameras to monitor the fields, they can routinely zoom in on each plant one by one and snap a high-resolution photo. Then you can pass those photos to a classifier that will determine whether there's no disease present or which stage of the disease is present. This system can run on a loop anytime the sun is shining and could systematically alert the farmers when there's a plant or a set of plants that need manual attention or intervention. That's the grand scope of the idea, but they needed to start somewhere more modest at first. So rather than build the entire big system, they decided to start with just the classifier, a machine learning model that could take a photo as input and produce a classification of disease or non-disease as output. Here's how they did that. They started by finding a suitable dataset to train on. They found just what they needed in the Plant Village database, a widely used benchmark in plant disease detection research. This repository contains thousands of annotated images of potato leaves, including those affected by early blight, late blight, and healthy specimens. The images were captured using high-resolution cameras to preserve the fine-grained details that are crucial for distinguishing between similar symptoms. The researchers put this dataset through a pre-processing pipeline that was designed to standardize the images and prepare them for training. The first step was resizing, where all the images were normalized to a fixed resolution of 224 by 224 pixels. This ensures uniformity in input dimensions across the neural network, preventing shape-related inconsistencies during training. Alongside resizing, a color normalization step was applied to standardize brightness and contrast variations introduced by differing lighting conditions during image capture. By adjusting histograms across the RGB color channels, the dataset was made more resilient to real-world environmental fluctuations. The next phase was data augmentation, which is used to artificially expand the dataset and improve model generalization. This includes rotating, flipping, scaling, and vertically translating images randomly within predefined limits. These transformations simulated the natural variability in how leaves might appear in real-world farming conditions, making their future model more robust against overfitting to a specific dataset. Another essential step was noise reduction, which involved filtering out images that contained excessive background clutter, overlapping leaves, or severe motion blur. Since convolutional neural networks rely heavily on edge and texture detection, noisy images can introduce unwanted artifacts that degrade model performance. To mitigate this, an automated image quality assessment was implemented that rejected images that fell below a predefined clarity threshold. Finally, the dataset was split into 80% training, 15% validation, and 5% testing. And now, it was time to start training. As you would probably guess, they decided to use a convolutional neural network as the classifier itself. This is a type of artificial neural network commonly optimized for analyzing visual data. Rather than train from scratch, they decided to use transfer learning, where a pre-trained CNN, specifically VGG16, was adapted to their new use case. VGG16 is a well-established architecture originally trained on ImageNet. By leveraging the knowledge that's already encoded in its convolutional layers, it can extract meaningful patterns from potato leaf images without requiring a vast dataset for training. All the researchers needed to do is replace the final classification layers of that model with custom layers suited to their specific classification task. To enhance interpretability, they incorporated GradCam, gradient-weighted class activation mapping. This is a technique that visualizes rich regions of an image influence the model's decision. It works by computing the gradient of the predicted class score concerning the feature maps of the final convolutional layer. These gradients highlight the most important regions of an input image for classification, helping researchers verify whether the model was focusing on disease-affected areas rather than irrelevant background noise. For training, the authors opted for the ADAM optimizer, that's Adaptive Moment Estimation Optimizer. This is widely used in deep learning because of its ability to adjust learning rates dynamically based on past gradient updates. Unlike standard stochastic gradient descent, which applies a fixed learning rate to all parameters, ADAM maintains separate adaptive learning rates for each parameter by tracking both the first moment, the mean, and second moment, the uncentered variance, of past gradients. This results in faster convergence and improved stability, especially when dealing with complex datasets where different features may require different levels of adjustment. The loss function used for training was categorical cross-entropy, which is a common choice for multi-class classification problems. It calculates the difference between the predicted probability distribution and the actual class labels, penalizing incorrect predictions more severely when the confidence level is high. After training, they conducted a series of evaluations to measure the model's performance and reliability. They first assessed accuracy, the proportion of correct classifications out of all predictions made. It achieved a validation accuracy of 97% and a test accuracy of 98%. They also looked at precision, which quantifies how many of the model's positive classifications were actually correct, and recall, which measures the proportion of actual positive cases that the model successfully identified. These are both crystallized into a single metric called the F1 score, which is the harmonic mean of both. Across all disease categories, early blight, late blight, and healthy leaves, the model achieved F1 scores between 97% and 99%. This is quite good. It indicates a consistently high classification performance. Comparing the results to previous studies, the researchers found that their model outperformed earlier approaches that use standard convolutional neural network architectures like AlexNet and Inception ResNet V2. Their customized VGG16 model consistently achieved higher accuracy and recall. Now, their model wasn't perfect, and there's still room for improvement, but overall, it did very well. When integrated into a larger monitoring system, a model like this could help ensure that farmers and agronomists can help make real-time informed decisions about disease control. This can help reduce crop losses and optimize pesticide use. As I mentioned at the top, this is far from the end of the road for these researchers. They have big plans and new directions they want to go, from integrating additional explainability techniques like LIME and SHAP to expanding their dataset to include more geographic and temporal diversity. And of course, they want to build prototypes of IoT systems that can act as real-time monitors in the field. So I believe we can expect quite a lot more from these researchers on this topic in the years to come. Thank you for joining me on today's episode of Journal Club. Hope you enjoyed it. Malcolm Diggs signing off. See you tomorrow.